Good morning again. All right. You know, every time I preach, I get this knot in my stomach. And it's not a knot in my stomach about anything else, but the fact of it is, if the Spirit doesn't show up, everything I'm about to do is worthless. And so I just want to open in a word of prayer, praying that God would encourage you to walk in Him and to walk in His ways this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for these people. Lord, I pray that as we open your word, you would teach us about yourself and how much you love us, how much you care about us. Lord God, you are a supremely good God. And you're so good to us, Lord God. And I just thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to declare your word, Lord. And so I pray that the Spirit would just move in this place, Lord God, and not stop here, but continue as we go throughout this week. Lord, might we leave this place encouraged in your name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. On April 16th of this year, a huge tragedy happened. In South Korea, there was a ferry that was moving, from Jeju to Incheon. And it had 476 people on board. You see, the problem was, is that on this ferry, they had way too much cargo. And so as the weather got rough and things got difficult, they tried to make, it was a crewman was helming that was very inexperienced. And he turned it too sharply, and because of all of the weight, it immediately capsized. There were 325 high school students on board. You see, and as the ship began to sink, the order was given, remain in your cabins. And if you know anything about that culture, respect and honor of those in authority is paramount. And so they stayed. They honored and they respected. You see, but they placed their trust in people who were making poor decisions. And it cost many of those people their lives as the crew itself bailed out and left and escaped. You see, the truth is that many times I think we start to slowly believe that maybe God is like that. Maybe God is like that captain. Maybe God won't take care of me like I think he will. Maybe he's going to leave me high and dry. And so we start to not trust and we start to doubt and we start to back off because we're afraid he's like that captain and his crew, that he's going to leave us on a ship that's sinking. You see, but if I can impress one thing on you guys this morning, it's that God is not that kind of God. And he is worthy of our trust. God is worthy of our trust. And so we don't need to worry. We don't need to be afraid. So God is worthy of trust. You see, a failure to trust God is a failure to walk with God. And that results in worry. Whenever in our lives, when we are failing to walk with God through a situation, it gives birth, it bears the fruit of worry. And so, my question for you this morning is this, is where in your own life are you failing to trust God? Failing that he is who he says he is in his word? Failing that he's going to do the things that he said he would do? And instead, taking it on yourself and worrying? So this morning, we're going to look at three reasons Jesus gives us to trust him and not to worry. Three reasons Jesus gives us to trust him and not to worry. And we'll be in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn there. And if not, that's fine too. I know some of you are listeners where you just like to sit and listen. I'm there too. So three reasons Jesus gives us to trust him and not to worry. And as I prayed, I had a lot of things that I wanted to talk about. But I realized that this is a big one. And this is the one that Lord put on my heart. And so I just want to share it with you. and to say, when we worry, it's because we fail to trust God. We fail to believe that he is who he says he is, and that he's going to do the things he said he would do. But Jesus steps on the scene and says something different. And so what I want to look at first is this, is verse 24. And Jesus says this, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And money here is a representation for self and getting what I want and my way and my security. And what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 6 is, I can do all of the right things, but if I do all of the right things for the wrong reasons, it's worthless. And he actually lists, giving to the needy in that, in 6, 2 through 4. Then he lists prayer, and then he lists fasting. And he says, if I do all of these things, but I do them for myself and for my namesake, they're worthless. If I do them for myself, they're worthless. Because we can't serve two masters. And we can't trust in two masters either. And when we trust in ourselves, it gives birth to worry. And so Jesus, I'm going to try and smile a lot in this, because I think in 25, from 25 on, I think Jesus had a big smile on his face. Because here, this is not a condemning Jesus here talking. This is a Jesus who wants to encourage his people. And encourage his people to say, hey, you have no need to worry, because I am a God who is worthy to be trusted with your life and with your decisions and with your children and with your job situation, whatever it is, you can trust me. So he says this, and he's going to say it three times. So the first reason he gives is that Jesus says, I will take care of you because you're important to me. I will take care of you because you're important to me. And we're going to see that in 25 through 30. So I'm going to read that. He says this, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious, it's a command, about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. He says, don't worry about your stuff. Don't worry about what's coming. He says, is not life more than food and body more clothing? I know the phrase, you are what you eat. But what Jesus says is that's not true, because your life isn't the summary of what you eat. And so you don't need to worry. He says this then, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And so what he does is he says, hey, I'm going to take care of you. You don't need to worry. You can trust in me. And so he gives his first illustration, and he says this. He says, look at the birds. You see them go by. They don't store things up. They don't plant. Birds do what birds do, and that's not a lot. You know, they fly, eat, breed. That's about it. Sometimes, unfortunately, they poop and, you know, on you or things like that. But birds don't do a lot of stuff. But nobody questions whether or not, you know, we're not running around going, oh no, who's taking care of the birds? Birds get taken care of. That's what they do. So I checked last night, and they estimate, conservative estimate says there's 100 billion birds on the earth. They say it's probably actually closer to 300 or 400 billion birds. So I think that number helps cement what Jesus is saying. The birds do what the birds are supposed to do, and I take care of them, because I care about them. And he says this. He says, are you not of more value than these birds? Doesn't God care about you, his image bearers, much more than he cares about some dumb bird? And if he takes care of the birds, won't he take care of you? See, God loves us so much. And he says this in verse 27. Now, again, this is how I picture Jesus saying this. I picture he's got a big smile on his face, and he looks at you, and he says, hey, that worrying you're doing, how's that going for you? Is that going well? Is that adding hours to your life? Yeah? You feel good when you worry about stuff? You feel good when you have to control stuff? How's that working for you? And we all laugh and say, it's awful. Jesus, it's awful. And he says, I know, because that's not how I designed you. I didn't design you to trust in yourself. I designed you to trust in me. And you can. And so he literally says here, the translation is, and which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his lifespan? The answer is no one. It drains us of life. He says in end of 28, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor reap, nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, is what he says. Now, this is another neat illustration here, is that one is, last night when you went to bed, you didn't sit and say, oh no, I don't know if the sun's going to come up tomorrow. And I didn't call Scotty and say, I don't know. It went down. It's really dark outside. It's really dark, and I don't know if it's going to come back. See, because when the sun comes down, the sun comes back up. Nobody, when I say that, you're like, oh, I guess I didn't really worry about that. Because that's what it is. And when it's winter time, now, even this year, okay, you know that eventually spring will come. Eventually spring will come. You're expectant that it will. You never worry and say, I think that we're stuck in winter forever, okay? Maybe some of you got to that point, but usually you don't. Because God takes care of nature. He takes care of nature. We're not super concerned about the day-to-day things. Now, when I would tell them that our days regulated, where for them, it's in Africa, it's a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night. 6:30, sunrise. 6:30, sunset, because they're right along the equator. And I would tell them our days are different, and we have different seasons. And they'd get this big smile on their face saying, that's crazy. We have some days that are very short in the winter. So it sounds awful. You know, yeah, it is. And so those kind of things. But I would tell them that God takes care of those things. And we can trust him with those things. And what he says is this. This is Jesus' point. If you can trust him with birds, and you can trust him with nature, how much more can you trust him with your own life? Because he cares way more about those things were made for you, for your enjoyment. He takes care of you. God will take care of you because you're important to him. I wrote this down. Our worry oftentimes gives a small obstacle a very long shadow. Our worry often makes something small look very big. And see, because we're not designed to be worriers, we're not designed to be people who take matters into our own hands and fail to trust. You see, we can trust him, and he is worthy of our trust. And so we've seen that God will take care of you because you're important to him. Now we will see that God knows what we need better than we do. So first, he loves us, he cares about us, he gave his son for us, and now he says, hey, do you trust that my perspective is better? So he says this, in verse 31, he says, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? He says, for the Gentiles. And when he says Gentiles, he means people who do not know and have a relationship with God. He says, they seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Do we trust that? That God knows what we need? And here's the problem. Here comes the problem. What we need is usually not what we want. You know what I mean? Like, God wants us to grow, and God wants us to look back and say, look at the faithfulness of God, and look at, I'm so much of a better person than I was a year ago. But the thing is that what it takes to get there, we don't want to go through. And so we choose safety and security over God. So he says this next. He says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So what he says is, he says, seek me first and you'll get the other stuff. Maybe not in the time or the configuration that you wanted, but you will get it. Now, friends, if I can speak from my own experience here, I would say this, is that the last year has been very difficult for my wife and I, but I wouldn't trade it. I would not trade it because I see things, I see people differently than I did. And I'm telling you, It was through the deep, dark valleys that God taught us those things. And he led us, and he sovereignly provided, and we could see him. Rather than creating my own security where I was fine to sit, I had to trust. And it was a beautiful place to be, and that's where God wants us. God doesn't want us sitting. God doesn't want us staying. God wants us stepping. He wants us moving. I think of the verse, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And see, that's not talking about anything other than when we follow God's way, we don't waste our steps. When we walk in him, it will never be a waste of a time. We will never get to the end and say, well, that was kind of worthless. That will never happen when we follow God. You see, God knows what we need better than we do. I think that trust often looks like gratitude. When we're grateful for things, it's because we trust. And when we're negative about things, oftentimes we fail to trust and we start to worry and we start to take matters into our own hands. And so my encouragement to you would be, when you have a negative situation that you start to worry, can you see maybe some of the positive that God wants you to see in that negative situation? Can you name three positive things? I know that one negative sits there and you worry about it, but what about this? But what is God trying to do? What is God trying to do in the midst of your struggle and your trial and your hurt and your pain? He's working because he knows what you need and he's trying to teach you. And unfortunately, some of the times those lessons are really hard and really long. You see, we have to trust that he knows and be grateful for him in the midst of our difficult circumstances. See, God's way is not easier, but it is better. Oftentimes, it's not easier. We get dragged right through the mud is how it feels. But it is better. And it produces character and godliness. The last thing that we're going to see here, the last reason, is it says this. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If we could only do this. If we could get ourselves to do this, I think that we would fix a good 90% of our problems right there. What God says, Jesus steps onto the stage and he says, hey, you know how you keep talking about tomorrow and worrying about the things of tomorrow or whatever happened in the past? Well, the past is covered by grace. And so if you have things where you need to ask for forgiveness, you do that. But understand that if you are mine, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you have trusted in him as your Lord and Savior, you're free from those sins. I heard a story about a lady, she said that she talked with God. And this pastor didn't believe her, and he said, no, you don't. And he said, yes, I do. And he said, okay, next time you talk to God, ask him what I did in seminary, because he had been struggling with the guilt of something he had done in seminary. And so the next time he saw her, he said, so have you talked to God? And she said, yep. He said, what did he say about this? And she said, God said, I forgot. You see, because God forgets our sins. When we ask and we repent of those, he does not hold those against us. And because of that, we are free people. And so God doesn't want us focused on the past. But God also doesn't want us focused on the future. He doesn't want us there. You know, because we have enough to deal with the day. I mean, most days I get up and I say, God, help. This is my first prayer. I want you to know, I lay in bed and I say, help. I can't do what I'm supposed to do with the attitude I'm supposed to have, with the heart for people that I'm supposed to have without your spirit. I can't do it. I can't do it. I need you. See, we have enough to deal with today. And so maybe if you look and you say, the thing I'm worrying about isn't today. Well, guess what God says? God says, hey, I love you. I care about you. I'm the one that's sovereign. And so you just deal with what you can today. And when tomorrow comes, we'll deal with tomorrow. But you don't have to worry about it. See, worry doesn't take the sorrow from tomorrow. It takes the strength from today. It doesn't take the sorrow from tomorrow, it takes the strength from today. And what we're left with is sapped and tired, and we can't encourage and love each other in the body. We can't reach out and love people with the strength of Jesus Christ because we're so stuck on trusting ourselves with our issues. And God has called us to so much more than that. See, God says you have enough to deal with today. And maybe you haven't thought about this, but all of your problems that you're currently facing have an expiration date. They all have an expiration date. Maybe it's in this life and you'll see the end of the expiration date. Worst case scenario, it's in eternity, and life is so short compared to eternity. But your problems will cease. And we can trust in God because of that. And maybe you won't get victory over that trial in this life. But our greatest victory is coming when we believe and trust in Him. You see, another thing that we fail to realize is that oftentimes pleasure, psychology says that pleasure is greatest in the anticipation. Okay, so when I want something, I think of Christmas morning. I loved Christmas morning, okay? I mean, one of the best times of the year when you're a kid because you know that something cool is going to be under the tree for you. And you love getting those gifts. And so anticipation, birthdays, love birthdays. Why? Because you get stuff. You feel loved and you feel cared for. People think of you. The anticipation oftentimes is greater than the experience. Now think about it. You go, I remember as a kid, you get all that stuff, and it's not as cool once you have it. It was way more fun looking forward to it than it was to have it. Now, my thought is this. If that's how it works with anticipation, I think that worry does the same thing in the negative effect. Is that, have you ever had those situations where you worried about it and you fretted about it and you're like, I'm going to stand up in front of people and I don't know what I'm going to say, Kim, you know, or those kind of things. And then you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. I shouldn't have worried about that. I shouldn't have let that sour me. Right? I mean, don't we do that in many times, in many situations where the anticipation, the worry builds to the point where we're like, this is going to be awful. And you get, it wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't that big of a deal. You see, because we as believers in Jesus Christ are not meant to worry. Because worry is taking something out of God's hands and putting it in ours and saying, I know better than you do. And we never do. So my encouragement to you this morning is this, is that God is worthy to be trusted. And I think that this pertains to me as well, in big time. So because right now I sit and I don't have a job and I don't know. But you know, the crazy thing that my wife and I have noticed, I have plenty of people to minister to, and I love the 20-something age, and I meet with a bunch of people, and since we've been back and I finished school, I've been meeting with a bunch of people each day, and you know, it's crazy, because what we've noticed is that the money seems to be there. God seems to be taking care of us, and I don't know how long we're in this state or whatnot, but I'm telling you, there's one of two things that we can be in this state, is that we can be trusting and making the most of our time and trying to encourage people and go out, or we can worry about what's next and suck all of the strength from today. And I think that God often gives us that very same circumstances in each one of our lives. Will you choose to trust me as I have called you to, as my sons and daughters? Or will you choose to live like the rest of the world, thinking that you know better than I do? You see, today it's your choice and you walk out free. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for these people. Lord God, I pray that your word would be an encouragement to them. I pray that your name would be glorified and that we wouldn't just go out of here and say, oh, well, that was nice, or, oh, that was terrible, but not look and say, Lord, what do you have for us in this? How might we live differently? So I pray that your word changes our lives and changes our hearts and changes our appreciation of you for the better. And it is only by your Spirit. that this can be accomplished. So we just give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.